All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
So, Seth, as we continue to go through some of the stories still left over from the last couple days mourning the loss of Kobe Bryant, one of the stories or one of the questions that's come up from folks, and I don't know where the genesis of this is. You know this story better than I do, so help me out.
I just keep seeing it pop up here and there. People are arguing about this and wondering whether Kobe should become the new NBA silhouette logo. It's something that's been discussed a whole long time since Jordan was around, and after Jordan retired, people thought Jordan should replace Jerry West as the logo.
Yeah, Jerry West, for those who don't know who the silhouette is on the NBA logo.
The shapely hips of a 1950s-style basketball player.
He does.
Like a guy that used to grew up in an era where they thought that lifting weights would make you too muscle-bound.
Right.
That's the picture that you see on the logo.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So it's Jerry West right now. I don't know. How do you feel about this?
I don't like having this conversation completely and totally in this element. These are kinds of decisions you would not make in a period of mourning, I think, for one. Yeah. You would never make a big decision when you're grief-stricken. That's a rule of life, everybody out there. Never make a major decision when you're grief-stricken over something. I think over time, when you step back and look at things and put things in perspective, I'm not sure that Kobe is the guy that you would pick over Jordan to be the actual face of the NBA, the silhouette of the NBA. I think Jordan is still the guy that brought the NBA into the modern age.
Here's the thing.
Well, I mean, along with Bird and Magic, but really Jordan's the guy that completely sealed the deal and transformed it.
Let me raise a point here.
Yeah.
This is where you benefit greatly from these two players being the two you're discussing. Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, is that if I've learned anything from YouTube in the last 24 hours, they're basically the same guy.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to body type and mannerisms and the way they move, the way they dunk, the way the form on their jumper.
Right, well, and because Kobe modeled himself after Jordan.
Yeah, and so in theory, you could put a silhouette on there and say that it's both of them.
Do a hybrid. Just kind of take the, just computer, honestly, take one of those shots, those more iconic shots, when you catch them both in the same position and kind of morph it.
Yeah.
Morph it with, and then make that the silhouette.
Yeah, man. And it's Jordan and Kobe.
But then you start, okay, but then almost you feel like, okay, we can make it a Mount Rushmore of logos. Let's add two more guys
then
to it.
Then you put a big afro on it and say it's Moochie Norris also. Yeah,
I saw Moochie after the Houston Sports Awards.
I know. You gave him alcohol.
I gave him a bottle of liquor.
I feel like
it's not like Moochie was sitting on a corner or something.
No,
I was like, here, Mooch, I know things have been rough for you.
Not a wino.
Like, no. It was, I had this bottle of liquor. It was this Yellow Rose whiskey, and I love Yellow Rose whiskey to the point where I'm like, I can't be trusted with this entire bottle of whiskey.
Right.
I've got a history. I need to give him the bottle of liquor. So Moochie, I saw Moochie, who's got, he's just.
I did make it sound like that, didn't I?
Yeah.
I ran into Moochie Norris.
Outside of Toyota Center.
Gave him a bottle of alcohol. Outside Toyota Center. Yeah, no, Moochie's doing great.
Moochie's saved his money.
He's not
out there offering to do cameos for $5 or something.
He was at the Houston Sports Awards to support Rudy Tomjanovich.
He was wearing a tuxedo when I gave him this liquor.
He was well-dressed. He's worth more than me, all right?
So anyway, why were we talking about this?
We were talking about, because I said we'd put the
Mount Rushmore
on the logo.
Of,
logo. So you think on this Kobe logo thing, just lay back for a little bit.
Let's not
do anything hasty.
Look,
here.
People had made really good arguments for making Jordan the logo for a long time, and people weren't budging on it. There is something about that logo. It feels dated, but because it's a human being, and what are you going to do now? You know, at some point, Jerry West is going to pass away, although it seems like he's been in a really important part of championship squads for a while now.
Can you imagine that's what they're waiting for to change it? Like, man, Jerry's gone. We can finally change this logo here.
Because after that, Well, none of the other sports have a player silhouette as a logo.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I was looking, Major League Baseball's logo is this.
Oh, that's true.
It's this
that is a, but that's not an actual player.
It's a silhouette. Oh,
it's a guy. It's a guy at bat. For those of you that aren't thinking of it, it's a guy at bat with an actual baseball, presumably a juiced one.
That doesn't look like Brooks Robinson to you?
Can I say another thing about that?
Yeah.
By the way, that logo.
You can pick.
He's obviously
anybody.
Taking the pitch.
Is it why you don't think he can get his bat around that quick on the ball?
The ball's like a foot from his torso.
What if he's juiced up? You can't really tell what
it's
his biceps
high,
look like.
The ball,
there.
It's a ball. It's high, and it's a foot from him. So he's taking a pitch. So I guess you're applauding his judgment there.
Oh, is it really? Okay,
who is
so
it?
That is somebody,
Harmon
Seth.
Killebrew.
It is Harmon Killebrew.
Oh, is it really?
Who, by the way, is one of the greatest home run hitters of all time.
Okay.
Yeah, former Minnesota Twin.
Then why would they show Harmon him taking? Why would they show him taking a pitch?
How do you know? You don't know how the rest of this plays out. I'd like to think Killebrew can get his bat around.
If Harmon Killebrew can be the logo, I feel like this opens the field up to pretty much anybody.
Do you know how many home runs Harmon Killebrew
hit?
No, I know,
but he doesn't typically come up in the conversations of greatest basketball player. Greatest baseball players of all time, right?
You would get your ass kicked in Minnesota right now.
Minnesota.
Yeah, that's where he did most of his damage.
So if Harmon Killebrew can be the face of Major League Baseball, I guess football. I was going to say Walter Payton for football, but now I feel like I need to open it up to a
Seth
whole
Payne.
Lot of other. Any run, Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Payton would be good. It's funny. Payton would be good.
Seth Payne, shut up.
Because Payton would be good because he had that running style. Where in the open field, he would hold the ball out in one hand. And I feel like you could troll a lot of coaches by making Walter Payton the logo.
Oh,
but he's
yeah.
in the open field. He's holding the ball out like this. And they're like, you're not even teaching kids good form these days, man.
You're going to turn every
Four
coach
points
into
of
a,
pressure, man.
into a well-actually guy.
Yeah.
Well, actually, kids.
Payton,
well,
though, in terms of stature, Payton would be a good. I mean, he's Walter Payton Man of the Year. He's got
I guess
that award.
He already does
there.
Have the Man of the Year award. I will say this, because the Man of the Year award, that patch that they put on those guys' jerseys is a silhouette itself.
Yeah.
It's of him wearing a cape on the. I've never. If I can criticize something that nobody else would even bother to criticize. The Man of the Year Award, which is one of the most prestigious awards you can get as a player, J.J. Mm-hmm. Watt will wear that caped silhouette, that silhouetted cape shot, whatever it is, for the rest of his career. I'm not a fan of the cape look. I feel it's a little too much like, hey, look, it's kind of like your Superman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. It's almost they're trying to make it look a little too dramatic and noble. And it's not the most iconic image of Walter Payton.
No, it's not. So Payton. We're not a hockey town, but I'm guessing Gretzky would be the guy in hockey.
Gretzky
in
hockey. Hockey, because of the pads, the physique doesn't matter as much. I think the problem with the Jerry West logo is that he looks like guys looked in the 1950s.
He's a dad bod.
It's not a sculpted, muscular physique.
That's why I never wanted to change. I feel like it. I can relate to that.
Like the Killebrew silhouette. It looks like okay. This looks like a chisel faced baseball player. But the Jerry West logo just doesn't do it for you. It's not the ideal male physique that a lot of athletes are shooting for.
Says you. And I guess speaking of the Giants are retiring Eli Manning and Michael Strahan's numbers. So boy, you brought this up, I think, off the air. We didn't talk about it yesterday because we were all Kobe yesterday. The people cobbling together Eli's Hall of Fame candidacy are getting to be a little much.
I'm reading these articles where people are saying with a straight face in bringing up the first couple major points after just the compiling stats, you know, which, all right, the compiling stats are the compiling stats. These last 3 years were arguably he shouldn't have even been a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
He's managed to play in this era where Super Bowl, where touchdown passes are easier to come by. So he has the compiling stats on his side. But then, like, the second argument I'll see after passing touchdowns and the Super Bowl MVPs, let's say the third argument will be, and he spoke to the media after every game.
Mm.
Oh, and by the way, number four, he never missed a game due to injury. So durability. Now if you're durable, you're going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't even see these brought up anywhere in arguments for other availability to the media. Who the hell are you? You self-congratulatory, self-important bastards in the media that think that somehow media availability is a criteria for being in the Hall of Fame. Get over yourself. What the hell? You're lucky to even have a job in these dying mediums that you work in. What the hell?
I was about to say I'm really intrigued by your view on the durability thing, but I feel like I want to hit rewind on what you just said and hear it all over again about the media.
They'll bring up that he never missed a game due to injury. The only time he missed a game was when he got benched for Geno Smith. And Yes, that's notable and applaudable, but there are a lot of quarterbacks out there that have only missed a few games in their career due to injury.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, because you had perfect attendance, somehow that's all of a sudden a Hall of Fame caliber stat.
But this is what intrigues me about you saying that. You're a former player. You're a former player that played a very physical position and had a bunch of surgeries. You got beat up in 10 years in the NFL. It intrigues. I would think if you were to tell me that take your opinion, transcribe it, and not apply your name to it, that sounds like the opinion of someone like me who's never been on a football field. Like, durability,
no,
big
no,
deal,
no.
You showed up at work every
I'm
day.
I'm impressed with it.
Okay.
I'm saying, this is all I'm saying. I never see that brought up in terms of, like,
people.
A main argument. Yeah. It's something that you add on. They're like, wow, look, not only does this guy have all this, but also he was really durable.
Right.
Like Brett Favre.
Yeah.
You know, Brett Favre, oh my gosh, look at how incredible he was, and also look at how durable he was. And Brett Favre did it while hooked on painkillers, Eli. You couldn't even do that. So it's easy to be that durable when you're stone cold sober all the time.
You're the one person who's going to penalize Eli for not having addiction issues.
You know what? So I see all these things that are kind of accessory traits being pulled in as the main argument for Eli Manning.
Right.
And that's what I don't get about it.
Because people did bring it up with Favre, but it wasn't the center of their campaign for him.
Right.
Because there was enough other stuff.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not one of the main columns or pillars of your argument.
Right.
So I just see it with Eli more than anybody else. And it's going to be 5 more years of this. It's going to drive me insane.
I promise it won't be 5 more years of it on this show.
Okay.
Will, it was.
It'll be, no, you know what it is going to be, though? When we look up at ESPN in late February. Every single year is going to be somehow. Is Eli in a? It was the.
Oh,
it's going to be one of the new kind of. Is Joe Flacco elite? It's going to be one of those types of. It's an evergreen topic that you can come up and have a debate about.
Yes.
Any given time. Just like, what are the other big evergreen? Manning versus Brady used to be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then
LeBron versus MJ.
LeBron versus Michael Jordan. That seems to come up on Michael Jordan's birthday. Somehow Michael Jordan's birthday has become a topic every year.
Yeah.
That's a weird one to me.
Yeah.
When is his birthday? Look it up. And I think there's your explanation for why it becomes a topic. I think his birthday is in a dead
period. Seth is pointing at me and telling me to look up Michael Jordan's birthday.
Jordan's birthday, I'm guessing, is
February 17th.
It's coming up. Right after the Super Bowl. You're in the doldrums of the NBA season.
Yeah.
Baseball is completely dead. You know, pitchers and catchers are about to report.
Do you want me to start putting the rundown together for that day?
Yeah.
Goat arguments?
No, put it at, it's 6 a.m.
Yeah.
We're going to check the ESPN ticker and see how much of a big deal they're making out of Michael Jordan's birthday.
Okay, I like it.
Which, Michael Jordan deserves to have his birthday mentioned, but if his birthday had been in January, there's no way it would be somehow a lead story every year.
February
it's so
17th,
weird.
You're right. You're right. It's interesting.
I'm going to make a quick point, Sean, about Eli Manning's longevity being brought up as a core argument for him being involved, included in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
This is what I would say, because one of our listeners said, well, it's being used against JJ, the longevity, which it will be, I suppose, his durability. His durability will be used against him probably in Hall of Fame discussions. And I guess that illustrates my point, really. I think longevity is a prerequisite, or durability in a lot of ways is a prerequisite, because you want to be able to show how many seasons you had as an all-pro or a pro bowler or all these things. So it's a prerequisite. It's not a core argument. They're not going to bring it up, you know, as one of the main reasons you get into the Hall of Fame, because there are, frankly, a lot of durable players that play a long time, some of whom are only just average starter caliber. So that's where we are.
My response to that texture would be, Eli's a guy that there is going to be a strong debate for because he's a fringe Hall of Famer. Is there any argument about J.J. Watt?
No, there's not. People will bring it up against him in arguments or whatever. He's a three-time defensive player of the year.
He's in. Right.
Like, that's it.
Yeah.
You're a three-time defensive player of the year. You're in. If Eli Manning had been a three-time MVP of the NFL, offensive MVP, then he'd be in. He's never been good enough to be even close to being in the MVP
discussion. He's barely been good enough to make the Pro Bowl 4 times.
He shouldn't have been the MVP at least one of those Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So the Super Bowls we're talking about, that's just one game. We're not talking about
the whole season
MVP. Yeah.
Text message, I'd put Eli in the Hall of Fame just for the wink emoji with the tongue out on SNL. That is true.
That is a good one.
That bumped him up a couple
points.
Did you watch that after I told you to watch it?
Where he's doing the emojis and everything.
It's hilarious.
Funny.
It's hilarious. He was really good.
Somebody, Mike and Cyfair, made the very good point after something I said.
Fajita Pete's.
He said, from Fajita Pete's. Oh, where did he say?
Boy, I got it right
a lot
here.
Of
you
feedback.
Want me to read it?
Yeah, we got a lot of feedback from the last
He
time.
Only missed a game. This is talking about Eli. Mike and Cyfair says, Eli only missed a game because he was benched for bleeping Geno Smith. Why are we talking about the Hall of Fame after that sentence?
Well, and I think that does go to speak to the point that these last few years where a lot of people, you know, I have to go back and look. It may have been even the last 4 years. He just had lost something on his arm where, in a lot of respects, he should have lost his job. The Giants should have drafted a quarterback long before they actually did, and he should have lost his job before he did. He's compiling all these extra stats to put him on seventh all-time passing touchdowns and whatnot in an era where it's a lot easier to get those touchdowns than it was even 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
That in a lot of ways, his durability might be an argument against him,
mm-hmm.
that it just allowed him to be a compiler more than an actual awesome, awesome quarterback. Very, very good quarterback. He's in the Hall of very, very good,
yes.
in my opinion.
Yeah, yep. Can't wait for that Hall to be constructed. The reason why Michael Jordan's birthday gets brought up, this is in response to Seth and I wondering, why is that a topic every year? Because generally, this is a texter saying this, Seth, generally it's All-Star weekend and Michael Jordan's signature shoe for the year comes out the same weekend. So basically what I'm hearing is Jordan makes it all about himself by dropping a shoe that weekend.
Yeah.
He alerts people. It basically calls attention to his birthday.
It's, so, yeah, no, I'm not buying that. Like, there are other great players who have birthdays.
Yeah. Like, all of them, actually.
That coincide yeah. with various moments. Plus, the NBA All-Star Weekend it's not that big a deal. You know why the NBA All-Star Weekend is a big deal? Because it coincides with a really dead time during sports. Like, yeah. that's one of the only things there is to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So, Michael Jordan's... Think about what you just said. That... During any kind of event anywhere, a player's birthday all of a sudden becomes newsworthy. That almost by definition, that only happens in a dead time as well. If something huge happens during that week, then we won't have to look up and see ESPN discussing Jordan's birthday.
I was really surprised by this article that you sent me from ESPN.com that it looks like it's using some pro football focused stuff in here. That the Texans, I don't know. I mean, I know you've looked at the article, Seth. How shocked were you when you saw that, according to this article, the Texans' rookie class, their draft class, their rookies, were ranked 30th out of 32 teams? I was really surprised when
I saw
that.
I was just because I think Tytus Howard and Max Sharping are going to be starters on this team for a long time.
Yeah.
So my immediate thought was, well, you got two viable starters out of a draft class. That's doesn't always happen, actually.
At a position group that's
yeah.
been in disrepair for the last 4
yeah,
years.
Yeah, but then when you start thinking about, okay, what were the contributions of the other rookies in that draft class, and there weren't a whole lot of them.
Well, here's how they explain, we'll go through the picks here in a second. Here's how the article explains the Texans' ranking of 30th. The Texans didn't have a ton of rookies take the field, but the ones who did all struggled in some capacity, particularly Lonnie Johnson Jr. His 36.0 overall grade ranked last among qualifying cornerbacks. Eesh. And his 128.9 passer rating allowed was second worst among cornerbacks with 50 or more targets. They then have a paragraph. How did their top pick fare? There's still room to grow for Tytus Howard, but he looked like a starting caliber right tackle. He was right in the middle of the pack among qualifiers at right tackle.
Yeah, so I think that the fact that Tytus Howard also wasn't available for a large portion of the season.
He
it was
hurt,
part of
yeah.
the reason that you weren't as good as you could have been at the end of the year.
Yep.
So that's part of it. Holly Waring is promising, but also, man, I was so excited. And I made the key cardinal mistake that you should never make, which is I got excited about a mini camp performance. When there's no pads, there's yeah. no complex defenses that you're adjusting to, anything
just
like that.
You're going to do it again.
He looked very, I know. Well, because he's very athletic, you know, and he's got a physique that I criticize scouts and coaches all the time for being suckers for physique.
Right.
They see a guy's physique and they think all of a sudden that has some kind of tie into how they play, and it almost never does.
Yeah.
Sometimes guys that are rocked up are good players, but there are a lot of times where guys that are rocked up are horrible players.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's something there with Holly Waring. And if he becomes a guy that can be a vertical threat as a tight end, that adds a whole lot to an offense.
Yeah.
Makes things a whole lot easier for a quarterback. But he didn't do a damn thing for you this year, so that's a mark against you. Lonnie Johnson was spotty with some signs of promise, yeah. but
penalties.
Not a real contributor at all, and not somebody you felt you could depend on. So it comes down to, I think, just sheer mass... Just quantity, like how many productive snaps did you get out of the guys in your rookie class? And Max Sharping is the kind of the crown jewel in that respect. Tytus Howard could have been, but he got injured and he wasn't available. Yeah. So you just didn't get that many good snaps out of these guys.
I guess if you're asking me, to me it comes down to, look, I don't follow the rookie classes for all 32 teams. Not my job. But for me it comes down to how do I feel about this class. And if you're saying they're 30 out of 32nd, it means that it was a failure. Either that or everybody in the league is just kicking ass at drafting rookies, and we know that that's not the case. I feel okay about the Texans' rookie class. Tytus Howard's going to recover from this injury, and I know they're doing it empirically, like you said. He missed half the season with a knee injury. That's going to impact the grade the way they're doing it. I feel my feeling about this rookie class, Seth, is much better than a grade of 30th out of 32 teams. They've got two future starters on the offensive line who I both feel are going to get better. Charles Omenihu is a guy who they picked in the fifth round who I think can become a good situational pass rusher, or maybe even a guy, depending on how Anthony Weaver wants to structure the defense and change things up on defense, maybe Charles Omenihu is a guy who fits in better into what Anthony Weaver wants to do going forward. And Cullen Gillespie in the seventh round is a guy who I think they should use more. I think he should be on the field more. I think he's a better blocker out of the fullback position than any of the guys they have at the tight end position when it comes to running some of the RPO stuff for Deshaun Watson. So I think Gillespie, I think they've got two guys who are going to get second contracts in the two offensive linemen. I think they've got guys in Omenihu and Gillespie who can be cheap contributors for you for the next 3 years. And then it comes down to going from feeling pretty good about the class to feeling great about it is if one of either Lonnie Johnson or Kahale Waring, preferably Lonnie Johnson because of the position he plays, develops, then I think you've got a class that's a solid class. Classes like that are ones that if you have Deshaun Watson at your quarterback, you get a few of those stacked on each other, you can win a lot of games.
I'll tell you what, and you're right, Omenihu, and I think Omenihu, for us here in Houston, his impact feels like more than perhaps it looks like on the stat sheet because of some of the key plays that he's made. Right. He has this knack for turning the ball over in the Kansas City game originally. You know, he had some key turnovers in games this year, the Buffalo game, that were... Wait, did he cause that one? No, that was
Whitney.
That was Whitney,
yeah. Caused that, yeah.
But he had some key turnovers in games this year, so the stats that he did produce at times were very timely, mm-hmm. and I think he is a different type of player than they have right now that's going to make your defense more versatile. I'll tell you what, And looking back on Brian Gaines' tenure, this last draft I think is going to end up being a pretty good looking one for him. I think that the 2018 draft, where you didn't have a first or a second round pick, right. But that turned into a whole lot less than I was thinking at the time. Justin Reed almost completely exonerates the rest of that draft because he's going to be such a great pick. When you're going to look a few years from now, I think Justin Reed is going to be a Pro Bowler. And he's a guy you got in the third round. That was a hell of a draft pick. But Martinez Rankin, gone already. Jordan Akins, I don't know exactly what's happening with him, but I don't feel as great about him as I did after his first year. Kiki QT, what the hell? You know,
Kiki QT might not make the team.
Duke Ejiofor got injured last year in the summer. And this is a guy that I kind of is a little bit of a dark horse to come in and be a factor as a pass rusher.
Yep.
He's a little bit in that Jacob Martin category of, all right, I don't know if he's going to be physical and big enough to be a complete player, but if what you're looking for is guys screaming off the edge, Duke Ejiofor and Jacob Martin might be the solutions instead of trading.
We can just skip to third down in every game. Yeah, that'd be
exactly.
Awesome.
Can
you guys start it off on third and 10 for us? That would be great, okay?
This is what I'm banking on. Right. In the new CBA, they're going to go to Canadian rules. And they'll only have three downs.
Yes.
So it'll be a very heavily passing game. But, you know, Peter Kalambayi ended up getting some snaps this year when Bernardrick McKinney got hurt.
He's a special teamer.
Yeah, but Jordan Thomas again, too. We're still kind of wondering, all right, what's going on with Jordan Akins and Jordan Thomas? The pride of the 2018 draft class is almost completely hanging in the balance of those two tight ends and whether they become something. Other than that, you've got Justin Reed. That's the only guy you feel really awesome about right now.
Jimmy Fallon's on our TV here in the studio. We have it on NBC.
You can tell he looks healthy. Sometimes you worry about Jimmy Fallon. You know, he's had his brushes with alcoholism and whatnot. He looks pretty healthy.
He does. I believe J.J. Watt is going to be on with Jimmy Fallon later this week.
J.J.'s not an alcoholic.
He is, no, not at all.
That would suck.
He's addicted to carrot juice.
He's addicted to the grind.
It is.
J.J., but what's your biggest weakness? My biggest weakness is I'm addicted to the grind.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I saw an article, by the way, about how to answer difficult questions in job interviews, and it was the most annoying thing I've ever seen.
Oh,
it was like,
because
one
still
of the
have
questions,
it? We can
one of
use
the questions
is
I earmarked it somewhere. Yeah, we'll use that in late February instead of talking about Jordan's birthday.
Right.
It was something like, how do you answer that question? What are your biggest weaknesses? Ooh. And they gave all the cliche, like, sometimes I get too focused on details. Sometimes my expectations are too high.
Okay.
Sometimes, like, all these false modesty type things.
As you know, I used to hire and fire people before I got into radio. So what we'll do is, I won't find the article. You just send me the questions, and I'll do a job interview with you on the air.
Oh, okay.
I'll interview you and give me the answers. And
what would you do when you would interview people and you would ask, like, what is a weakness of yours? Would you kind of throw up in your mouth a little bit when somebody said, sometimes I care too much?
Yeah, of course.
Sometimes I have this is honestly one of the questions asked. Sometimes I have a hard time striking a healthy work-life balance because I devote too much time to work. Somebody tells me that, and I'm like, you are so full of crap. I don't know whether to applaud you or kick you in the groin.
That can be a weakness, but even if that is your biggest weakness, find another
like, it's just so transparent. Yeah. I interviewed for a personal assistant, and she said, and now let me ask you this, after I got it, if she had any questions for me. Right. She said, do you mind if I show up like a half hour early every day? Because I get kind of paranoid, but I don't want to get in, you know, I don't want to be a disruption. Do you mind if I show up a half hour early? I'm like, well, yeah, that'd be fine. Don't worry about that. First day, 5 minutes late.
Ah! Yeah, if you're gonna go with that kind of thinly veiled sort of hardo thing where you're like, yeah, I'm a grinder, I'm here early, and that's your gimmick, you better live up to that gimmick on the first day.
That's where I did such a bad job hiring. Late. The first and only time I ever had a personal assistant, I did such a bad job hiring that I realized, like, 3 months into it, I'm like, I've basically taken on an intern that I'm paying really well, and this might as well be a college class for her because I'm spending 2 hours a day trying to explain how she needs to be better at her job.
Yeah.
And it was awful. That's why I've never had one since then.
So was she a college graduate?
She was. Yeah, she had, 4.0 GPA and everything.
Really?
According to her resume.
Okay.
And she was just too young.
Okay.
She was just too young, and honestly, this is what I've noticed too. Sometimes I think she was too well taken care of by her parents. She was still living at home.
Mm-hmm.
She had no pressure to work. You need somebody that's hungry.
Yes.
You need somebody that's driven, that's like trying to springboard to something else or something.
Yep.
She was a little too comfortable.
Smart, hungry, and humble, baby.
Yeah.
Those are the three characteristics. So somewhere there is a young lady out there who has on her resume that she worked for Deceptively Fast LLC or
Payne Holdings.
Payne Holdings.
At that time,
okay.
No, that wasn't it. That was some kind of LLC.
Has a future employer of her future after you got done working with her ever called you for a reference?
No, I think she was. Well, no, she got married and babied up after.
Oh, okay.
I think that was her last. I think the only job she might have ever actually had was being a disappointment to me for a few months.
Did her husband ask you for a reference before he proposed to her?
Her husband was her husband was in the military. He was an awesome guy.
Oh.
So yeah, he didn't need a reference.
Okay. Well, there
he
you
was.
Go.
Oh, did he ask for a reference about, like, how's she going to handle the?
Yeah, anything. How does she handle pressure? What's her work ethic like?
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe she met him along the way while she was working for the vast business empire of Payne Holdings LLC.
I'm a pretty good reference giver. When I actually like an employee, I'll keep giving strong letters. Like,
same.
So there's still one that I still like to this day. She hasn't worked for me in 10 years, and I still write nice letters about her.
You do?
She's like one of my wife and my favorite people in the world.
Oh, that's
like
cool.
Like, we wish she would. We would have adopted her if it wouldn't have been weird to ask a 24-year-old to be. And if she didn't already have a positive.
I was about to say.
And she also had a good relationship with her parents. Other than those two barriers. Listen, Kimberly, I know you love your parents very much, but I think we love you more.
That feels like a really creepy, like, psycho thriller on HBO, the kind of thing. Like what's the one on Netflix? You. That's what it feels like. Season 3 of You.
The nanny who's
psycho. He's like 30 and he adopts a 23-year-old. The Pro Bowl was this past weekend. We will not talk about the Pro Bowl game because nobody cares about that. But we will talk about this anonymous poll that The Athletic did, Seth, with 32 different Pro Bowlers at this game. I don't know if you saw this, but they asked them various questions about Most underrated players, head coach you'd like to play for?
Actually, some of the guys walked away from the interview a couple times because they're offended by some.
What
of the
are
questions.
The odds? I thought about this because the very beginning of the article. Here's how the article starts on The Athletic. It starts by saying that halfway through the anonymous survey, one Pro Bowl player stopped and walked away. He said after practice Tuesday, quote, "Hey, man, I'm gone. That's a trap question."
Ah.
What are the odds that that was Laramie Tunsil walking away from the marquee question of this survey? Should the NFL allow marijuana smoking?
Well, especially it's interesting.
And I'm not even throwing that as shade at Laramie Tunsil. That's when I saw that quote. That's what popped into my mind.
I could hear Laramie saying trap question.
Yes.
Like he does a pretty good, Laramie kind of does a good job of being in control of the interview. He doesn't get angry or anything, but he kind of just shuts people down and stuff very, right, very quickly and succinctly. So I could see him being that guy. Well, it did strike me as interesting. A lot of times as a player, when you get these anonymous type polls, you're filling out a survey and turning it in without your name on it. This is like talking face to face with an actual writer.
Dude walking around the microphone.
Who's going to go have Mai Tais so he can pretend he's in Hawaii at the Orlando theme resort bar or something, and then talk to all his other buddies. So I would, like, honestly, somebody comes up to me and says, like, "Hey, don't worry, this is anonymous." I'm like, "Yeah, go screw yourself, bud. Yeah. I don't believe you."
So you would not have answered these questions.
I wouldn't have answered. Questions. Yeah, I just wouldn't have. I'm a naturally distrustful person, I suppose. So the one question, the money question, which I think some people are going to be surprised by these answers, this answer, because I think some people have the perception that all professional athletes are smoking weed all the time or something. Just, I guess, because they watched the Aaron Hernandez documentary or something. Mm-hmm. Should the league be testing players for marijuana? 59% definitively said no. Yeah. 9% said some form of yes. 10% abstained. The rest had very nuanced answers. So I suppose, when I'm reading that, I thought there's probably a lot of people out there that are surprised that 41% of players didn't really have an opinion or didn't feel strongly that the NFL shouldn't be testing for marijuana.
I thought it would be higher than 59%.
Yeah.
And maybe was that the point you were making?
Yeah, the point
that you
I'm making
people
is there
think
are a lot of, I think a lot of times where, I think because, for one, anytime anybody ever does anything illicit or illegal, the first thing they say is like, "Well, everybody's doing it." Well, that's not the case. Same as like with teenagers. Teenagers all feel like they're the only teenager that's not doing drugs or that's not having sex or not doing all those things. When in fact, these teenagers these days are some of the most socially careful people we've had since like the 1940s.
Yeah. They're having way less sex.
These kids'
days.
Grandparents were so much hornier than these kids today.
Right.
Like ridiculously so.
Right.
So I think likewise, people believe like, "Oh, all these guys are smoking weed and everything." Like, no, a lot of NFL players don't touch it. They're like straight edges guys. Mm-hmm. A lot of them don't touch alcohol. They're very careful about what they put in their body, and they definitely don't smoke pot. So it didn't surprise me that about 40 or 50% might not feel like they don't care whether guys get tested or not.
Yeah. So the number, as Seth said, was 59%, a definitive no to the answer, should the league be testing players for marijuana? They then went on to do some more questions here relative to players, coaches, and cities. They started off by asking for the most overrated and the most underrated players, and they quickly found out that none of these guys, even though it's anonymous, air quotes, that none of these guys were going to give answers as to who the most overrated players in the league
were. Yeah, not a single one.
Yeah.
It's a good play. I feel like maybe...
I feel like it's, the players are getting a little soft.
I feel like if they would have asked the right guy. Did they not interview Richard Sherman? I feel like Richard Sherman would have said something.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like he would have pulled the scroll out of his back pocket and had the 10 corners that were drafted in front of him or what have
Sherman
you.
Sherman would have said, "So Richard, who's the most overrated player in the NFL?" Crabtree! Richard, I don't even know if he's in the league anymore. Who cares? It's Crabtree! Hey, that guy since 2013.
So the landslide winner here, because he got three votes for, yeah, for most underrated player.
Most underrated on offense.
It wouldn't surprise you that it's a fullback, and that fullback is Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah.
Do you
agree with Kyle Juszczyk deserving those accolades?
Yeah, I think so. I think that although fullback has almost become like it is with nose tackle, you get talked about being underrated so much that I feel like you end up being appropriately rated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a lot of NFL fans could name an NFL fullback other than Kyle Juszczyk. I feel like that's because he gets talked about quite a bit when he's on the
broadcast. He gets named All-Pro every year because he's the only fullback people know.
Plus, by the way,
and he's good.
The number of fullbacks in the league has largely remained stable over the past 10 or 15 years, and it drives me insane.
They were almost extinct.
It drives me insane that every year I hear people say, like, well, you can hardly find a fullback anymore. Well, no, usually, like, actually, over the last few years at various times, like, every team in the final four teams in the playoffs has had a fullback. It's not actually... They're not going extinct the way people would have you believe.
Right.
But the ones that are good and remain tend to be guys more like Juszczyk, guys that are multiple threats.
Yep. A few guys got two votes on the most underrated player, according to anonymous Pro Bowlers. Devontae Adams, Nick Chubb, Julian Edelman, Cortland Sutton. Do you feel like these guys are underrated? Do you feel Devontae Adams is a Pro Bowler?
I'm surprised. I don't think Devontae Adams is underrated or Nick.
Julian Edelman's one of the most famous players in the league because he's on the Patriots.
Nick Chubb, I suppose it would just because he's not maybe a household name yet. But I feel like.
And he led the league in rush, or he finished second in rushing this year. Chubb is underrated.
I think. So Cortland Sutton, I get, because a lot of people don't know his name yet necessarily. I was guilty of it at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought that Cortland Sutton was going to be anybody. Julian Edelman, is he underrated? No, I don't think anytime people are actually having a Hall of Fame discussion about a guy that never even made a Pro Bowl, could he possibly be underrated? Although, I will say, the very fact that one of those two votes was a guy who said, you know, the slot receiver from New England. The guy couldn't even think of Julian Edelman's name. I both feel like that's a sign that Edelman is underrated, but that also maybe that particular player's vote shouldn't be counted.
Yes.
Like, what the hell are you talking about? That slot receiver from New England.
Do you even watch football? And then on defense, the most underrated player, again, in a landslide, three votes compared to about two dozen players with one vote. Chandler Jones.
Chandler Jones is probably one of the most curious examples of a guy that left. It's weird when people talk about how the Patriots will let go of a player. And even if he's good or even still, you know, like Richard, they'll bring up Richard Seymour. They'll bring up various other players. Look, though, and they'll leave Chandler Jones out of it,
right. Which
is incredibly strange given that Chandler Jones wasn't at the tail end of his career, was still a very good football player and has gone on to be one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, but doesn't get talked about a whole lot because he's not on a good team. But he also showed up half naked at a police station in the middle of the night.
He did.
Possibly high on bath salts when he was in New England. It made sense that they said goodbye to him at the time.
He did. Although Belichick probably looked at the trade market for edge rushers over the last couple of years like, I should have held on. I think they traded him for like a third round pick or something, if I'm not mistaken.
You know, Belichick's interesting. Belichick has gotten to a point in his career, and I believe I read a quote about him. I think it was in the book that I read about Belichick this summer by Ian O'Connor.
Mm-hmm.
He said he just got to a point where he just doesn't want to he doesn't like dealing with headaches anymore. And he doesn't want to do it. After the Aaron Hernandez, obviously, especially, something kind of changed in him. And culture became so important, partly because he feels like that's the right way to win. But at least part of it, too, is just that he's too old to deal with it. He just doesn't want to have to put up with the headaches. And he'd rather have... He's a good enough coach, and Tom Brady and everybody else has been good enough that he's been able to been... Like, it's... Even not by design, he's stumbled into, wow, the extreme focus on culture also happens to create a whole lot of winning football.
Yeah. Chandler Jones traded to Arizona for a second-round pick, and Jonathan Cooper, a former first-round pick back in 2016. One Texans player found his way onto this list, Seth, of underrated players as voted by anonymous Pro Bowlers. Whitney Mercilus.
Whitney Mercilus, there you go.
Whitney Mercilus, who is so underrated, he got a four-year, $54 million extension.
He's not underrated in Bill O'Brien's mind.
Not at all. Yeah, no, some would argue that some would argue he might be slightly overpaid in Bill O'Brien's eyes. But
Who's going to get paid? Who's the next surprise big contract?
For the Texans?
Nick Martin was a little bit of a surprise that he got as big a contract as he did. Whitney Mercilus was a surprise that he got a contract as lucrative as he did.
And I think Zach Cunningham's contract is going to make some people go, wow, whoa.
Oh, yeah. Now, but Cunningham would make sense because he has extreme athleticism. Like, he has something where you'd say, okay, you're going to grab him on the upside of things. And it just comes down to the problem is now O'Brien has kind of set the tone to where he's going to pay the guys that he thinks are smart, tough, and dependable, STD crew.
Yeah.
And is Zach Cunningham in that STD crew?
I think he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he is.
So it's a blend of athleticism and STD.
He is someone who can actually play football as well.
Yeah. So that might actually be the...
Yeah, he's STD, but he's also GAF, good at football.
Okay.
Yeah, he's an STD GAF. Just real quick to run through these other things that the Pro Bowlers were being asked about on here. They were asked the coach that they would most like to play for. Andy Reid and Pete Carroll tying at the top of the list with four votes apiece. handful of guys getting two votes apiece: John Harbaugh, Kyle Shanahan, Mike Tomlin, Mike Vrabel. Bill O'Brien, one vote.
Oh, he did.
There's a Pro Bowler that wants to play for Bill O'Brien.
Who is it? I wonder who that is.
It's not Deshaun or Laramie because you can't vote for your own coach.
You weren't allowed to vote for your own coach. Yeah. Somebody out there. Yeah. I wonder if it's...
What if it's T.J. Watt? He's heard such good things from J.J. about Bill O'Brien that
he wants to play for Bill O'Brien. Yeah, that's true. Maybe it is T.J. Or also just T.J. wanted to be sure that things stay positive for Bill O'Brien. Keep everything, you know, smart, tough, dependable.
I'm going to give him this one vote. That ought to keep him from cursing somebody out.
What's more likely will any of the Watt brothers ever play together? The wild card would be likely Derek going to either Pittsburgh or Houston.
Well, Landry was making a case yesterday that JJ will finish his career in Pittsburgh with TJ.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a smart move. Is Pittsburgh going to do that? Because of the injuries, when it's time for JJ to leave Houston, I think that's going to be it for him.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, I used to wonder about him ending up in Green Bay or something. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think TJ's leaving Pittsburgh anytime while all the other two guys are still playing.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today. All right.